Hi, everyone. This is Martin Willis, your host of Podcast UFO. This is episode number 5 with Stephen Bassett. He is a returning guest, and he was our first guest on the show. We'll get into more of that in the introduction with him. Please follow us on Twitter at @PodcastUFO. We have a great roster of upcoming guests. If you'd like to see who they are, or if you'd like to interact with them, go to our website, which is podcastufo.com, and click on the Interact link on the top menu bar. You can listen to us on Stitcher on your smartphone. We have a free app right on our website. And we also invite you to guest blog for us, and we will pay for original content. Well, here we go with episode 5. And I have Steve Bassett on the line from Paradigm Research Group. And Stephen helped me start this podcast, actually. He was my first guest, and I was actually recording him for a different podcast, but decided to start Podcast UFO. And I really thank you for that, Stephen. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
And Stephen, let's talk about the what happened with your previous petition and this new petition that you have online right now. And I really encourage our listeners to go to the link on our website right underneath the podcast, and please do sign this petition. You'll see a link right to it. Go ahead and explain, if you would, Stephen, what that stands for, and please talk about the initial one you put up.
Certainly. You probably have the direct link to the disclosure petition, too, on your site. But for those that are listening, obviously they're probably on the internet, clearly. They may want to bring up the information hub or site for this petition. Process is underway, and that's disclosurepetition.info. So if they'll bring up disclosurepetition.info while we chat, I think you'll find it constructive. The project underway is by Paradigm Research Group. It is a petition project made possible by the White House. The Obama administration initiated a citizen petition project called We the People, based on the White House website back in September of last year. It'll ask people to submit petitions that could be signed on any issue they wanted. And they've gotten nearly, I think, approaching maybe 20,000, which shows that people are clearly wanting to engage the government.
Right.
And get a response, yeah. And there were some rules. The rules are pretty straightforward. You submit a petition. You have to open an account, submit a petition. And you've got to go and get you get a link back first, a direct link to the petition. Then you have to go get at least 150 signatures from those that you are in your world, in your network. And then when you have that 150, the signatures posted to the White House website for all to see. And then you had, at that time, 30 days to get 5,000 signatures. And if you did that, you would actually get that issue, that petition, would get a formal response from the White House. Since the project started, of the 20,000 petitions that have been submitted, about between 400 and 500, I believe, got the required 150 signatures. And of those, about 60-70 got the necessary signatures to achieve a response. And so far, there have been 53 responses. One of those petitions, in fact, it was the third one submitted, was Disclosure Petition 1. That petition achieved the needed requirement at the time, 5,000 signatures in 4 days, and eventually achieved 12,000 signatures. It's not huge numbers, but remember, it's all relative to how many people know about this and so forth. So it got a response from the White House, which came on November the 4th. Now, most people don't know about this process. Most people in the country don't even know that this We the People petition process is underway, though their number are growing all the time. But many of the people that know about it, and even know about the disclosure petition, don't understand what it was about. So let me explain what's going on here, because what is going on here could actually be pretty significant. The first phase was to submit the basic issue to the White House, the core fundamental issue, and get a response. So the petition as submitted at that time had a title, We Petition the Obama Administration to Formally Acknowledge an Extraterrestrial Presence Engaging the Human Race, Disclosure. Disclosure Petition, Paradigm Research Group. And now it expands that statement. We, the undersigned, strongly urge the President of the United States to formally acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence in Cajun human race and immediately release into the public domain all files from all agencies, military services relevant to this phenomena. And then one paragraph of explanation. Hundreds of military and government agency witnesses have come forward with testimony confirming this extraterrestrial presence. Opinion polls now indicate more than 50% of the American people, that would be adults, believe there is an extraterrestrial presence, and more than 80% believe the government is not telling the truth about this phenomenon. The people have a right to know. The people can handle the truth. To put those numbers in perspective, and there have been numbers of polls on this, and we're not talking small companies. We're talking Reuters and Roper and Time and CNN, Ipsos. These polls are of adults, not children, so approximately 150 million Americans believe that the UFO phenomena that has been recorded is extraterrestrial. And approximately 240 million adults believe that the government is not telling the truth. All right, fine. We got the necessary 5,000, and the petition received the response on November the 4th. Now, this response is notable for a number of things, but not the least of which, and this is where, again, it starts to get interesting very quickly. The written response to this petition, which came from the Executive Branch Science Office called the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is chaired by Dr. John Holdren, who is, of course, also the science advisor to the president, made the decision to take a hard line. They had many choices. They could have gone a number of directions, but by taking the hard line, they minimized short-term problems for themselves, being hounded by the media or having problems, issues with internal political power and or the military intelligence community. And they issued a fairly terse 9-paragraph statement. Let me read some of it. Mm-hmm. And it was written by a researcher in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, the OSTP. I'm sure he did not spend any time researching the issue. He was told what to write. He wrote it, no problem. All right. It's titled Searching for ET, But No Evidence Yet. And this response is still on the White House website. So if you go to whitehouse.gov, we the people, click on the responses, you can find the response. This has been up since November the 4th. Thank you. And by the way, listen to the language, because they are returning the language back to us that was submitted. That's very important. Mm-hmm. Thank you for signing the petition asking the Obama administration to acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. Key paragraph. The U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. In addition, there is no credible information to suggest that any evidence is being hidden from the public's eye. Then it goes on to say, however, that doesn't mean that the subject of life outside our planet isn't being discussed or explored. In fact, there are a number of projects working towards the goal of understanding if life can or does exist off Earth. And then they mention the SETI program. They mention Kepler Mars Science Laboratory, meaning, hey, we care. We're looking. And then it says, a last point. Many scientists and mathematicians have looked with a statistical mindset at the question of whether life likely exists beyond Earth and have come to the conclusion that the odds are pretty high that somewhere among the trillions and trillions of stars in the universe there is a planet other than ours that is home to life. Many have also noted, however, that the odds of us making contact with any of them, especially any intelligent ones, are extremely small given the distance involved. But that's all statistics and speculation. The fact is, we have no credible evidence of extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. Now, another reason, some other reasons why this response is the key aspect of this response is notable, and I'm talking about that key paragraph about the evidence, is this completely false. And more importantly, it's indefensible, which is to say that if any member of the White House, science, political, doesn't matter, were to go on camera for any length of time with any of the top researchers or activists in this field and try to, quote, defend that position, they wouldn't have a snowball's chance. Mm-hmm. Because the evidence for the extraterrestrial presence is massive. The evidence for government suppression of this issue is massive. And they would be inundated with it. And so what would they say then? So I don't expect any of them to have that debate anytime soon. So now what do we have? We have, and then the most notable thing, as I've said many times, is that this is the first time in the history of the Republic, and certainly since this phenomena became broadly in the public domain in the late 1940s, that the executive branch of the White House has ever put a formal position in writing on this. Mm-hmm. They've steadfastly avoid that, and for good reason. Because when you put a position in writing, you've now put out a stationary target that you can't walk away from.
That's right.
So we go after that target. We go after this statement. We break it. We break the truth embargo. So this is a milestone event, a significant event that a lot of people don't grasp yet, but I think they will. And that was the goal of the first submission. Now, the second phase of this is to go after that statement. And what we're going to do is use the very same partition process to accomplish that and achieve multiple goals at the same time. Now, what do I mean by that? What PRG has done has submitted disclosure petition to the White House, We the People Project, on February the 23rd, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. The goal of this petition is to, one, continue to keep this issue on the White House website for everyone in the world to see. Two, to draw the media, the political media, into the question, into the issue, so that they will actually start engaging in and asking the right questions, which would have dramatic impact on this. And three, to confront the statement on the November the 4th put out by the White House and show that it's false. And in this case, we're able to do it in a rather ironic and powerful way, as your listeners will find out very quickly. So when if you go to disclosurepetition.info, which is the information center for this project, disclosurepetition.info, you will find the direct link to this petition on the White House website. And you can jump over there to do what you have to do to sign the petition. You can also share this link with others in your networks, Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, your email list, websites. There's banners you can use there to link. And whatever way you can get this link shared so that other people can sign it. And of course, you will see the petition. Now, this second petition is much more complicated and powerful in a way than the first. And it fully reads as follows. Now, understand that the protocols of this project by the White House are fairly defined. You only have 120 characters to state the title of the petition or the petition itself. And then you have only 800 characters to provide explanatory information.
Wow.
So you've got to get a lot into this very small amount of
space. It's almost like Twitter.
It is. It is exactly like Twitter. And so a great deal of effort was made to get the maximum impact. And let's read it, and maybe your listeners will start to see. They won't see right away, but they'll start to make some connection here. Then they'll go, this could be interesting. Here is the petition disclosure. Petition 2, the Rockefeller Initiative, reads as follows. We petition the Obama administration to immediately investigate UFO-ET disclosure efforts during the Clinton administration, the Rockefeller Initiative, disclosure petition 2. The Obama administration has formally stated the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. If true, what was Clinton's Office of Science and Technology Policy investigating? By the way, that's the same OSTP that issued the statement on November the 4th. This is the irony. investigating from March of 1993 to March 1996 in concert with billionaire Clinton friend Lawrence Rockefeller, him being the son of John D. Rockefeller. Those who knew and have not spoken publicly of this initiative include, let me repeat this, those who knew and have not spoken publicly of this initiative include President Bill Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Obama Transition Chairman John Podesta, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, Vice President Al Gore, and Governor Bill Richardson. And then the real kicker, the final paragraph. Confirming documents. And then there are two links to two web pages, websites, with the documents to confirm what this petition is about. And that has been up on the website of the White House since February 23rd, and it will stay up at least until March the 23rd. It has 30 days, essentially, 26 left now, to obtain the necessary signatures to require a response from the White House. That amount has been raised from 5,000 to 25,000. So now it needs 25,000 signatures.
And why was the amount raised?
It was raised about 10 days after the project started on September 22nd because they were inundated with so many thousands of petitions that they realized that it was that the threshold was too low.
I see.
And that they would end up having to respond to thousands of petitions. So they increased it to 25,000.
Well, now, that's quite a jump, I have to tell you. I mean, I could see maybe doubling it or something like that, but going from 5 to 25,000, that really weeds out, I imagine that's going to weed out about 80 or 90% of the petitions.
It has. But one could make a case that if you can't marshal a reasonable amount of signatures, a decent amount of signatures behind a petition, then maybe this is not an issue that they need to be responding to. So it also will probably increase the quality of the petitions that are being submitted because this is a serious process. I'm not complaining. As I pointed out before, the polls show that 150 million Americans believe the UFO phenomenon is extraterrestrial. And 240 million or so think the government's not telling the truth. So it's not that there aren't a lot of people out there that could be signing this. Mm-hmm. So I accept it. It's the challenge, no problem.
Now, Stephen, why was this? I noticed that this was taken down from the White House when it first went up. And what was the reason for that? I know you reposted it, but why did they boot it out of there?
It was a technical glitch. It was a misunderstanding between me and them. I had included in the resubmission that went up that morning, after it went up that morning on the 23rd at 2 a.m. in the morning Eastern Time, a contact link to Paradigm Research Group, which is, of course, behind the petition. And that apparently violated their policy. It's under their privacy rule. They simply took the petition down. Didn't send me anything. And the way they operate is the petition goes up and starts collecting signatures right away, and then they decide whether they're going to keep it up. So it's a little awkward. They took it down. I was upset. I was concerned. I contacted them. They said, well, it violated their terms of participation, but they didn't say why. And then I went back again, and they sent an email saying it's the privacy policy. But they never said what it was. They never said it was the email address. And so I mistakenly concluded, it was the privacy of some of these individuals that were listed here, Clinton, Podesta, what have you. Yeah. And I said, uh-oh. So I went after it very quickly, but fortunately I got another email from him saying it was the email. So the email address. So with that was cleared up. We had to resubmit the petition again later that day, a different link. Start all over as a do-over, like a mulligan in golf. Hmm. And I put out a lot of notices. The people that signed early in the day before 4 p.m. on Eastern Time had to re-sign it.
Yeah, I was one of those people, by the way.
Right. So
I was like 154, I believe, 154 in.
Yeah, and then it was gone. Yeah. Technical glitch, all in the past. Went back up 4 p.m. Now we're up to 3,200 signatures. All right, so to continue to frame this for your listeners, you see that this is a fairly complex statement here and a petition to the White House But why is it so powerful? What's happening here that could be so powerful that it could possibly trigger a set of circumstances that could lead to the end of the truth embargo very quickly? Well, this is what it's about. After the Cold War ended, the kind of out-of-the-box Rockefeller, Lawrence, who was really not like his brothers in many, many ways. He was a philanthropist, of course, as well, but he also was an environmentalist. He was interested in other things besides business. He supported the work of John Mack, Colin Andrews, and others looking into this issue. He was interested in it without question. And he believed that people should know the truth. The Cold War prevented that truth from coming out. I think he understood that. While those nukes were ready to be launched, this issue was not going to be in play in any formal way. But when it ended in 91, he started considering what could be done to bring this out. And on March the 29th, he approached the Clinton administration by contacting the Office of Science and Technology Policy, directed by John Gibbons. He proposed that he have a meeting with Clinton, that he sent him a letter about this, and that the gist of this approach would be that Clinton would authorize the release of all UFO files in the government's hands and reinstigate investigations since things had theoretically been closed down. They were doing nothing since 1969 and sending out these little notes from the Air Force that we no longer investigate this issue. Thank you for contacting us. Bye-bye. Well, John Gibbons wanted no part of this, I can assure you. And I'm sure I'm certain he would like to have stopped it right there. But it didn't stop right there. And one of the reasons was that Rockefeller very cleverly strategically happened to drop that he was serious about this and serious enough that he was considering putting a full-page ad in all the newspapers in the United States calling again for the release of the files and reinvestigations to begin and so forth.
Wow, I wish he had done that.
I wish he had too. But I think it was a strategic maneuver on his part. Now, I ran the numbers on that, and I estimated it would have cost him about $30 million to do that, maybe 3,000 to 4,000 papers. But the fact is, he was a billionaire, and $30 million was the return on his investments, maybe a few months, a month, 2 months. So that was no idle threat. And so consequently, I think the office immediately said, no. Let's jump ahead of ourselves here. Let's talk. Let's see what we can do. And so he's in the door and it begins. This initiative went on for 3 years. It included many researchers that are known to the community and to the people that follow this issue. They met at Rockefeller's ranch for strategy sessions. Reports were submitted. Meetings were held. Letters were exchanged. Rockefeller continued to move to try to get the president to make this decision to release and so forth. They also wanted the president to address the Roswell issue. And in 1995, President Clinton and his wife visited Rockefeller at his JY Ranch in Wyoming, where they discussed it. And all of this is known to us because of the work of Canadian researcher Grant Cameron. Grant Cameron has been investigating this phenomenon for a long time, but he started to focus on the presidents back around 2000. And he created a site that is called the presidentialufo.com, which is the most comprehensive site in the world addressing the intersection between American presidents and UFO-ET phenomenon. And it's very large and very important. As part of his development, he submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the year 2000, roughly, thereabouts, regarding anything UFOs, extraterrestrial, and Lawrence Rockefeller, and he got back 1,000 pages. I'm surprised either somebody made a mistake or they wanted him out or they just didn't know, but he got back 1,000 pages, and these 1,000 pages confirmed the whole initiative, as well as the people involved, the people who knew about it, and so forth. Well, that was a significant thing. More importantly, Since then, he's also gotten additional documents from Clinton's presidential library. Now, let me make an important point here. You can't, in the executive branch, you can't file Freedom of Information Act request regarding a lot of the documents in the executive branch, of the, particularly the president's office and your offices. They come under a different law, the Presidential Records Act. Mm-hmm. And there's a process there where they're released to the archives and not available until 12 years after the president has left office. However, the OSTP was exempt from that Records Act at the time. It was available, as other departments are, under the FOIA law. So he used it, he got those documents back. Now, that was a significant thing. Immediately, I got a set of them, made a couple copies, and contacted some news media, particularly the Washington Post, and provided these documents. And they just weren't interested. They didn't think that was news. Now, most of your listeners know that when it comes to what the president does and what goes on in the White House, they're interested in everything that goes on. And occasionally we'll make big news stories out of the simplest, smallest things.
That's right.
But a billionaire Rockefeller trying to get President Clinton to release all the UFO files and reintroduce investigations apparently wasn't news to the Washington Post. So what we did is we put them up on the web. Grant Cameron put up substantial narratives in his presidentialufo.com site, and then I put up 173 of the key documents at the Paradigm Research Group site. And one of these links in the petitions is to those documents. And they're there in chronological order with thumbnails, and anybody, including a reporter, can click over, read them, and follow the whole thing. At least, you know, and there's much more, but I put up 173 of the most important. Grant Cameron now has made it possible to go to his site, presidentialufo.com, and download, I think, virtually all of them, all 100,000, all 1,000 pages.
Wow.
And we have sent out numerous press releases over the last 6-7 years. About various things that were going on, including open letter to Clinton, open letter to Obama, in which the links to these documents were put out in press releases, global press releases, and the press still didn't cover it. Okay, well and good. Well, now, this issue, 16 years after it ended, 1996, has now come back to life, but it's now on the White House website. Now, this is perhaps the key to this project succeeding. These documents confirm that the individuals that I mentioned either knew about or were directly involved in this initiative by Rockefeller. And these just aren't anybody's. Bill Clinton ran and became the president of the United States. Hillary Clinton ran and almost became the president of the United States. She now is the Secretary of State. John Podesta was a key aide to Clinton and his chief of staff. He then became the head of the transition team for Barack Obama in the 77 days prior to the inauguration, helping to select Obama's government. Leon Panetta was the chief of staff to Clinton when the Rockefeller Initiative was taking place. He is now the Secretary of Defense and was also recently the director of the CIA. Al Gore, of course, was one of the most active and vice presidents and very close to the Clintons. Of course, he went on to win a Nobel Prize, and he's going around the globe trying to change government policies regarding major issues. Mm-hmm. Former governor of New Mexico, Bill Richardson, was a congressman during the Rockefeller Initiative, but then became Clinton's Secretary of Energy, a key position vis-a-vis ET issues. Was tapped to be Obama's Secretary of Commerce, did not get that appointment, and then, of course, was governor of New Mexico. And he ran for president and was almost elected as vice president. These are extremely powerful people who wanted to lead the United States, who were now involved in powerful positions affecting our position around the world. And they have never said a single word publicly about the Rockefeller Initiative since it began in 1993 and have never been asked a single question about it by any member of the media. Now, to put this in perspective, in the early days of the Clinton administration, Hillary Clinton had a friend of hers named Jean Houston, who was a very well-known, I guess you could say, psychic, predictor, whatever, to come to the White House. And they had lunch a couple of times, and I think this is because of Jean's worldview and who she is. They had a little fun. They did some role-playing where Hillary Clinton pretended that she was talking to Eleanor Roosevelt about her time as first lady, and just sort of had a little kind of a role-playing conversation to see how, to decide how she would react. You know, it's having a little fun, whatever. Well, the press got wind of this. And this was a big story for weeks around the world. Hillary Clinton is channeling Eleanor Roosevelt. Blah, 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 blah. It went on and on and on.
But nothing on this other thing. Isn't that something?
But a three-year effort by a billionaire Rockefeller to get Clinton to release UFO files, we don't cover that. There's no news. Well, that's all anyone ever needs to know about the institutionalized truth embargo that's underway, and it's been underway for 65 years.
Now, didn't Hubble want him to – wasn't he involved in the UFO? I want to say Hubble with Clinton.
Yes. And he's not listed here. I didn't list him because he's not an A-lister. But yes, he was also part of the Rockefeller Initiative. And it helps to confirm that Clinton was clearly engaging it one way or the other, plus the visit to Lawrence Rockefeller in 95. Mm-hmm. Because as this initiative unfolded, a couple of things that Clinton did was he contacted Hubble, who was a good friend of his from Arkansas, who he'd appointed to Associate Attorney General. And he asked Webster Hubble to check into the UFO issue with Justice, see what he could find out. You know, I guess he was trying to get a little info. It was naive of him, frankly. Mm-hmm. And maybe elsewhere, because my understanding is that Webster Hubble also contacted a few other places, including NORAD, of all things. Well, I mean, I can assure you this didn't go over very well and upset a lot of people. And while Clinton, of course, was under attack, and I happen to believe that one of the reasons that Clinton and his wife were so relentlessly attacked from early on in that administration, it never ended right up until his impeachment, was because when people inside the military intelligence community and others, and they did know about this, learned that Rockefeller was making this effort to get Clinton to bring this stuff out, I believe that helped to trigger these attacks against him. Every effort was made to limit him to be a one-term president or even get him impeached. In other words, they tie him up politically, tie him up so that he couldn't have the ability to make that kind of a maneuver, to contain it, as it were, or even get him out of government. This is a backstory, probably one of the most important backstories in the 20th century politics, but the press has not covered it, of course, and it's not looked into it yet, but they can, and a lot of the principals are still involved. Webster Hubble, on the other hand, was not the president, and so Webster Hubble came under intense scrutiny and attack up until the point he was indicted and convicted and went to jail. So mm-hmm. That's one. There's another indication that Clinton was responding to this, because we have confirmation of this. He did task John Podesta, one of his key advisors, to come up with a way that they could enhance the declassification process, speed it up, and get more documents out. And Podesta did just that. And this was noted. This was publicly known and covered by the news. But there was no reference to UFOs in it, but it did to improve the ability to get documents out to the people and speed up the declassification process. I believe that was one of the ways that Clinton responded to this. And then another way that Clinton responded is he made a speech in Ireland. I don't know the exact year and time, but without being asked anything and completely out of context, Clinton happens to, and you can find this, the clip of the speech on YouTube, just go Clinton UFO Ireland on the search terms. He mentions that he got a letter from some kid that wanted to know if extraterrestrials had crashed at Roswell, New Mexico, and he said, well, he didn't know that, but he'd sure like to know. I mean, this is just some examples of how we know that there was, that he wasn't, you know, in the Oval Office and all this was taking place and nobody bothered to tell the president, oh, by the way, Mr. President, did you know that Lawrence Rockefeller is trying to get a report to you and meet with you and send you a letter, and then he's been over there at the, you know, been dealing with the OSTP for a couple of years? Nah, I don't think so. All right. So now I think your audience is starting to see that, wow, this is interesting. And so this petition basically is saying to the world and to the media, this OSTP position as of November the 4th is ludicrously false. That there was efforts to look into this even during the Clinton administration, not that long ago. And that's a highly political engagement. And while a book was written, emerged out of this, a report emerged out of this, became the book UFOs the Best Evidence by Antonio Huneas and Don Berliner. Now the OSTP says, oh, there's no evidence whatsoever. What were they doing back then? And why didn't they give a formal report? What's going? Clearly, this doesn't make any sense. More importantly, these very, very powerful people feel that, hey, they don't have to tell us about matters of that importance. They don't have to talk about that. It's, you know, it's their thing. And we don't have a right to know. We don't have a need to know. We can't handle the truth, blah, 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 blah. And now they want to run the world. They want to run the country. They want to be Secretary of Defense. They want to be President. They want to be Secretary of State. They want to determine our future, but they can't talk about things that they're uncomfortable talking about. But they do want our vote and our votes, and of course they expect to be paid with our money.
Right.
This is the kind of thing that irritates the media. And this has just been parked under their nose. Hmm. And so consequently, and here's the punchline, and I'll stop there maybe. And then, you know, can take things where you want it to go. If this petition starts to approach the 25,000 signatures that will force the White House to respond to it, the media, which is following this pretty well, how do I know the media is following this? Because the first disclosure petition we talked about earlier received more media coverage around the world than all of the other posted petitions to the White House during that time combined.
That's great.
Hundreds of articles, right? And video. So they're paying attention. So as this thing approaches, they're going to realize that they're going to have to respond to this, and that's going to prompt them to go to the links. They're going to go to these links, and they're going to start reviewing those documents seriously. And when they do, they're going to say, oh, Lord, this is maybe the biggest political news story in a long, long time. And they may start actually asking some of these very important people very obvious questions. And if they do that, I have no idea how these people are going to somehow dodge this issue. I think they're going to have to confront it. And if they do, that's the ball game. You'll see a media frenzy unlike anything ever before, and the truth embargo will be over. So, let's get to the gist here. What we need is for those people that believe they can handle this truth, which is just about everybody, that they have a right to know if they're not alone in the universe. They have a need to know that. Then we need their signature. We need them to do three things. We need them to go to the whitehouse.gov site and find the petition that We the People and sign it, or go to disclosurepetition.info and just click on the direct link, which is up there, and you'll also be finding this link elsewhere. One way, get to this petition. Do three things. One, create an account and sign it. Spread the link to people that you know in Facebook and MySpace and all those methods and Twitter, and suggest they sign it. And then if you want to take an extra minute or two, use the feedback link at We the People and send a respectful note to the White House that you have signed the petition and you consider it very, very important, and you expect a comprehensive, thoughtful response. Now, how do you sign this petition? It's not difficult. It doesn't take too long. The site is a little twitchy. It has some problems with some browsers. Occasionally, you might have to clear your cookies. But it generally works, and obviously it does, because a couple million people have signed petitions there since September 22nd. It is down for maintenance, sometimes in the middle of the night. But here's how you do it. You go to the site, the petition you want to sign. It will ask you to create an account if you haven't already done so. You click on create an account. You give them your first and last name and your email address.
Fill in. That simple.
It's very standard procedure. Standard procedure. Just, people have done this for commercial accounts all the time. You can also include your city and state, city and country, if you want. You will get an email back from the White House, which will have in it a verification link, which you have to click on, and a password that you use to log back in at We the People, log in, and sign all the petitions you want to sign. And when you go back again, you have to log in again. You also have the ability to go to your profile, which is down at the bottom, and change the password to something funny, like your first dog's name or something, whatever. That's it. It takes a few minutes if everything's working smoothly, and then once you're logged in, you can go to that site at any time and pretty much sign a petition in 10 or 15 seconds. That's what's involved. So we need people to do that. And we need 25,000 signatures. We've got to have them before March the 23rd. If we don't get the signatures, well, this petition will be up for 30 days. It is going to generate media. I can assure you one global press release has already gone out using the International News Service official wire. And it meant it was submitted to 200,000 media venues worldwide. There will be several more in the coming days. I am doing interviews. I've done already about 15. I've got 20 lined up. I'll probably end up doing about 50, including Coast to Coast, which was done on the day the petition was launched, and a couple main audience there. So, you know, millions of people know about it. The question is, will they take the few minutes of their time? It doesn't cost them anything to go and sign this. Now, also of great importance is the fact that the way they set this We the People project up, for whatever reason, it's not limited to U.S. citizens. Anyone in the world can sign this. Anybody can go ahead and put their, address, their name and their email, first and last name and email, and sign it. And when you sign it, by the way, they publish your first name and last initial, not your last name. It's a little bit of privacy there. But anyone can sign. So, I mean, we got, 7 billion people on the planet? I need 25,000 to sign a petition if they really would like to know the truth about the galaxy they're living in and whether they're alone in the universe. I think this is a pretty big deal. Mm-hmm. But, you know, people are busy, so we have to really hit them pretty hard, and that's what PRG is doing, and others are starting to spread the links. There's already some – if you go to disclosurepetition.info, you'll start to see the YouTube videos that are being created. You'll see banner links that you can use for linking to it. You'll start to see the early media coverage and so forth, and that'll all build up there at disclosurepetition.info. So there it is. That's what's going on. That's the major project that PRG is involved in, Martin. And any help that you can provide and your listeners can provide to get this word out and get this done, because if the 25,000 signatures are obtained, the petition will continue to remain up on the site at the White House. It will continue to gather signatures until such time as the White House responds. And that response will then stay up at the White House until they take this project down. And this issue will be boldly represented, not just anywhere, but on the website of the most powerful nation in the world. This is how you get results. This is how you get the world's attention. We've been given this opportunity by the Obama administration. For whatever reason, it would be a shame if we didn't take advantage of it.
I really appreciate your good work on this, Stephen. And, you know, I was looking around on the internet for different opinions, as I always like to hear more than one side. And one noted UFO person had this to say on his website, and I quote here, "I believe there is a very strong national security side to the question. I cannot see releasing technical data that could be of use to other countries also researching the phenomena and wanting to duplicate the extraordinary flying capabilities of flying saucers for military purposes, unquote. And what's your opinion of that?
If this person feels that way, then they shouldn't sign it, and that's okay. I mean, there are a lot of reasons people may not elect to sign it. And, I mean, all of them could be debated. But the purpose here is not to persuade everybody to agree with the strategy of disclosure, but to give those who do believe that disclosure is paramount to make it happen. I mean, I could go on for a couple of hours in response to that question, but or statement, but let me simply say that, to be clear, the fundamental goal of this advocacy is to get disclosure, which is the formal acknowledgement of the ET presence. That is the essential goal, and it must happen. What information is released in the public domain after that remains to be determined. It doesn't automatically follow that they're going to immediately come out with the secrets of anti-gravitic propulsion or the energy technology that these craft possess. That will be a debate or a process that will take place between three parties, the U.S. government, the American people, and the American media. So it doesn't automatically follow that that will come out. But it could, and we can make a very powerful argument why it should. But somebody feels that we need to even suppress the whole issue and deny it and even lie about it and obfuscate it in order, again, for national security reasons. Usually there's no almost there's not much you can say to that. If that's what they feel, they're not going to change their mind easily. So what can I say? But I happen to know that I'm pretty sure the vast majority of people that believe the issue is real also believe that it's time for us to know the truth. And this petition speaks to them.
Well, it speaks to me. And, you know, I just have hopes that in my lifetime that it is disclosed and we are moving forward with it.
Sure. I agree. I know we're getting close to the end here. I thought maybe I'd give people some quick updates of other things that were going on.
Sure.
Relative to this issue and what's coming down the line. There are a number of holding the conferences on the subject matter is not easy, and because of the economy, it's really tough, and people are losing money, and conferences are getting in trouble. But more conferences are yet being created, and I just attended the International UFO Congress conference in Fountain Hills near Phoenix. Very strong event. I think perhaps as many as 1,000 people were there over the 5 days. Very high quality, high production values, and it's run by Open Minds. So that went well. And there, next conference coming up is in the U.S. is a conference in San Antonio on March the 3rd. That is the Texas MUFON conference. Ozark conference in Eureka Springs comes up on April 13th. And then the New Living Expo will include a number of speakers in the subject matter, and that's in San Francisco, April 27 to 29. I will be speaking at that. There's also the first women's annual UFO symposium, or the first annual women's UFO symposium, May 19, 20 in Glen Rose, Texas. The Alamo conference is scheduled this year in Alamo, Nevada. Did I have that right? Is that Alamo, Nevada? I hope I have that right. And that's May 27. And then the MUFON Symposium is going to be scheduled shortly. And then another conference has just been announced for Sacramento, California, June 16. It's the 2012 UFO Paranormal Summit. It's getting heavily promoted, too. That could be quite an event. And then there is another conference that's being set up for Santa Clara. It's replacing the Bay Area UFO, which had a nice run but essentially closed down last year. It's called UFOCon 2012. That's September 15, 16th. Look for more on that. There's going to be a conference in September, the MUFON Pennsylvania East Coast Conference. There's two of them, one in Pittsburgh, one in Philadelphia. I'll be speaking at the one in Philadelphia September 28th. And then there's the Pythagoras Conference, which is a fairly large event that's very interesting, and it's going to be October 10. So, and you can see that the issue continues to develop more presence, more events and what have you, both here and overseas. And if you go to paradigmresearchgroup.org, I actually have a conference section. It's the most comprehensive on the internet with respect to UFO ET related phenomena. Mm-hmm. And you can see the links to all of these events and find out when they're going, when you might want to attend and so forth. And that's at paradigmresearchgroup.org. You've got to go into the main site and you'll see the conference, a couple links to this conference page. I'm also, let's see, there's another one I'm speaking into, but I think I maybe left one out. I'll also be at the Sonoma Film Festival in the third week of April up in Sonoma. There's going to be two. It's the Sonoma International Film Festival. There are going to be two films, both documentaries of sorts, about the subject, as well as a panel and a Q&A. This film festival, it's the second year they've included. This is a well-known film festival. It's not, it's mainstream. Mm-hmm. It's the second year they've included films on this subject matter. So that's another sign that it's breaking deeper into our consensus reality. So I feel like this could be the year, Martin. I've seen a lot happening. I see a mindset change in the media. We're still seeing the occasional awful article, but there have been plenty of good ones. They're covering a lot of territory. They're still staying out of the critical arena of the political leadership and won't confront them, but they're getting real close to that. Well, and the petition process is designed to make that happen, and it could easily happen this year, in this very big election year that's just going on already for 8-9 months. Has 8 months to go. It's already going to note it's going to be the most expensive election in American history, the most expensive election I think in any country's history. They're trying to get a number on it. It's going to be in the billions of dollars that people are going to spend to, quote, hire new leadership. Hmm. And throughout all of this, at this point still, there isn't a single candidate or campaign manager or advisor to these candidates that has the slightest inclination to mention this issue at all, as if it just simply doesn't exist. And this disconnect with reality is understood by the public, which is why the disgust with the political process and the people that are running and the government itself, trust levels being at historic lows, has grown so much. Until people understand that if you want to lead, if you want to serve the public, then you've got to be prepared to speak to every issue out there. And lying about major issues is simply not acceptable. And until they do that, there's not much that's going to go right in this country. So if there's no better time for this to emerge powerfully into the political arena than this year. That's right. Let them all speak to it. And those that can't do it, let them go and do something else.
Right.
But not serve us as political leaders.
Do you remember back, I think it was perhaps the last election, where a candidate was asked by the moderator during the debate if he had seen a UFO and brought it up, and the whole audience kind of made a noise, almost like a boo noise?
And I think it was more of a rustle. I don't think it was actually a boo. This was actually a significant event, Martin. And PRG had a lot to do with it. At the Philadelphia debate, Democratic debate, in I think October 30, 2007, Tim Russert confronted Dennis Kucinich with a question about the fact that he had had a sighting. A significant sighting. And the reason he knew that is that Shirley MacLaine, who is a close friend of Kucinich, mentioned it in her just published book, Saging
While
Aging.
That's right, yeah.
And Kucinich really struggled to answer this question. And you can find that, just YouTube search Kucinich UFO, you'll find his response. They then jumped over Hillary and he then submitted a related question to Obama, who dodged it very adroitly. And then after the debate, Chris Matthews confronted Bill Richardson with a question, because Richardson, in a foreword to a book called Roswell Diggs' Diary, had called for the reinvestigation of Roswell. And Richardson was completely flummoxed and didn't handle it too well. But eventually he did essentially confirm what he said. And Matthews was almost stunned Was there any follow-up to any of this? Of course not. That was it. But it just peaked there for a second. And that was 4 years ago.
Right.
Since then, a lot more has happened. But the press is not asking any of these candidates who want to carry around the football and have their finger on the trigger to thousands of nuclear weapons and lead the most powerful nation in the world. But they can't even talk about the most important issue in the world. So will there be any questions this year? I'll tell you this. If we get 25,000 signatures on that disclosure petition too, there very well may be. Because, again, those signatures will be in before March 23rd. There will probably still be debates. It's before both of the conventions. There'll still be Republican primaries. And this will be out there. I mean, we have a chance to have the Republican candidates initially being asked about this. Lord knows it's time to get asked about something really interesting because most of it is nonsense.
I'll and have to so, agree with you on that one.
We got an opportunity of a lifetime here, but people have got to, they've actually got to take the 3 minutes it takes to go to the White House, open the account, and sign the thing. And if that, and, yeah. and now, can I say, I can't do that for them. All they can do is, and all the movement can do is present them the opportunity to act collectively and assert their will. Now, recently, I mean, and they're capable of doing it. There's no question that people can come together very quickly if the resonance and the issue is right. And we had a perfect example of this just a few weeks ago. And I'm not speaking to one side of the issue or the other, but one of the very contentious issues now is the relationship between the internet and proprietary content like films and songs and television, video, all that kind of stuff. And it's important. I mean, people should not be ripped off. And they, if they, they create music and films, they should be able to be paid for this. But it's we're in a transition period, and the internet is just new, and it's not clear how to make this happen. We're working on it. But not surprisingly, the Congress, which hasn't done much right, and as far as I'm concerned, 50 years. But the point is that the Congress came up with two bills, one in the Senate called SOPA, Stop Online Piracy Act, and then the other was called PIPA, Protect IP Act. And they're badly written in the view of some people, and they felt that it threatened the nature of the internet itself, and they needed to be rewritten. They needed to be better. And so there was a lot of lobbying and publicity about this, and overall the public was watching it without question. The internet was watching it, and you were seeing articles. But there was no direct engagement until the bills were just about to go to the vote. When okay, right. and I think this was intentional because then we know how people are. We know how they deal with things like this. So pretty much at the last minute, the internet rose up. Those that objected to these bills
shut down. Away, yeah,
and did some activism. About 60 sites or so, including the very heavily traffic Wikipedia, went black for 24 hours in protest. But Google did something different. Google didn't go black, which would have been very awkward. What it did was it put a big black banner across its logo, Google logo, and then at the bottom of the page it had a little link saying show your opposition to these bills, a little link that went to a petition, in other words, which I essentially said, we object to these bills. They are not written properly, and they need to be redone or whatever, something like that. 7 million people signed that petition in 24 hours.
Wow.
7 million. Okay. Within 24 more hours, the backers and sponsors of these bills pulled it. Pulled their support, tabled the bills, and that was that. Now, they're obviously going to be looked at, reworked, and something else will turn up down the line. Now, that's people power. That's collective action. All right, fine. So we know that people can do it. The question is, do we have 25,000 that are willing to act in the same way with respect to trying to get the U.S. government to acknowledge this extraterrestrial presence and begin a process of responsibly getting information out that could be beneficial to the human race, protecting certain key national security issues without question. But the idea of maintaining a 65-year-old lie, a complete misrepresentation of reality, which has included over the years, but not recently, subversion, repression, intimidation, outright lies, manipulation, misinformation, and on and on and on. Not to mention the fact that there's a whole lot of science going on that probably is outdated, that people are running around in circles, spending their life trying to understand stuff that the government knew about 30 years ago.
Right.
This is not going to work in the post-Cold War era. So that's where it is, Martin. So I appreciate the time here. I hope we'll maybe visit again.
Yes.
When this thing is matured substantially and see where things are. Certainly visit again after the petition has run its course, after it's either been deleted because it did not get the 25K, or it is removed, or it gets the White House response, whereupon it stays up. In fact, the first petition is still up there. The first disclosure petition is up there with the response. They're together. And they're going to stay up there as long as the White House We the People Project goes on. So again, at minimum, we're getting tremendous exposure to this issue around the world. So it's been a wonderful thing. And I am grateful to the Obama administration for doing this. I think they should be applauded. Some people think, well, they're collecting a bunch of email addresses and we're going to be getting campaign email. I think they give that as an option. You know, would you like to receive? But it's an option. But it's hardly the worst thing in the world. We already get a lot of mail from a lot of entities. But yeah. They have allowed people to speak, and they've given us opportunity to voice collectively what we consider to be important. I think we need to obviously take advantage of that. So I hope we do.
Yeah. Now, I will tell the listeners that I signed back in, I believe it was October, and the only email that I received back was when the response came through. That was it. So don't worry about, I don't think you have to worry about getting emails from submitting your email. Also, when you do sign, you have the opportunity. You'll see both an icon for Facebook and an icon for Twitter, and you can Twitter or add the link to Facebook to get more people on. I highly encourage that. Well, Stephen, thank you so much. You've been very informative, and I really thank you for your hard work, and I really hope it pays off.
You're welcome, Martin. Talk to you again.
All right. Soon. Thanks a lot now.